This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
In the traditional sort of koan study that I did for a while with Bernie Glassman, in that system, after you had some initial insight into non-separation of a koan-like move, one was given a series of what we call miscellaneous koans that were intended to deepen that experience of non-separation. And there would be things of the sort, how do you stop the sound of a temple bell in Kyoto? Is that girl across the room the younger or the older sister? And the intention of these was to have you really try to embody that sense of being one with whatever was in the image of the koan, not have it be an object of thought or examination or separation, but to make it yourself. These koans tended to have a tendency to degenerate into riddles. But one that I think was valuable in a kind of ongoing way for our practice is the one that asks, how do you go straight on a twisting mountain road? Because that's one that I think we can engage in a everyday, psychologically relevant manner. When we think of going straight, I think that it describes how, one way or another, we all want to proceed through life, whether or not we think of ourselves as heading towards a particular goal. It's very commonplace to experience our life in terms of a direction and a path that is either smooth or rough, or that is clear and direct, or one that is full of obstacles and difficulties. And it's that dichotomy between life that's proceeding smoothly versus a life that's full of difficulties that I think is a basic kind of separation that we need to engage in our practice. We all have an idea of what going smoothly ought to be. You know, at minimum, most of us want it to mean being healthy rather than sick. Being happy rather than sad. Maybe being employed rather than unemployed. Or in a relationship rather than being alone. There are lots of versions of these kinds of either-ors that we can say reflect this idea of going straight versus encountering twists and turns or obstacles. When we're in Sesshin, in one sense, there couldn't be a straighter, clearer path. We have a schedule that just maps out the day from morning till evening. Everything is accounted for. All we have to do is show up and do whatever the schedule says to do. And in a sense, it's as straight as can be. And yet, almost inevitably, we experience the day full of obstacles. Obstacles of distraction, of boredom, of pain, restlessness, daydreaming. And we create a dichotomy in our mind between the kind of day we would like to have, which is somehow calm and clear-headed and focused, and, you know, you can fill in all the preferred adjectives that you want, versus the kind of day that we're actually having. And it's that basic split that we have to engage in our practice. And that all the talk of oneness that you encounter in koan commentaries really comes down to whether or not you can be one with the day that you're actually having, rather than make this fundamental divide between what's happening and what ought to happen. The koan of going straight on a twisty road asks you to be the twists and turns. Don't treat them as obstacles. They are themselves the road. It stands, I think, in a sort of interesting relation to another koan in the Mumonkan called Joshu Examines an Old Woman. And that koan concerns a pilgrimage site, a little road to the a sacred mountain, Mount Taizan, I believe, which is supposed to have a famous shrine to Manjushri. And at some fork in the road on the way up to the mountain, an old woman had a little tea stand, a little shack where she sold refreshments to the monks on pilgrimage. And the story goes that the monks, as they pass by, stop and have tea, and then they would ask the old woman for directions. How do we get to Mount Taizan from here? And she would say, go straight ahead. And when they when they left and followed her instructions, she would just shake her head and say, you know, muttering under her breath, well, he looked like a fine young monk, but he goes along just like everybody else. And the monks naturally were a little disconcerted by being talked to like this by an old lady. And they reported back at the end of their pilgrimage to their master, Joshu. And Joshu listened to the story and said, all right, I'm going to go check out this old lady. I'll see what's the story with her. So Joshu goes, has tea, asks her for directions. She tells him, go straight ahead. He leaves. She mutters the same thing under her breath for him that she does for everybody else. And he comes back. And he sits and nods and smiles and tells the assembled monks, I've examined that old lady. I've seen through her. So, and as a koan, we're asked, what did Joshu see? What does it mean that he examined her or saw through her? He did what everybody else did. He got exactly the same response. How is it any different? One way I would suggest he is different from the others is that he goes and he allows himself to be seen through by the old lady. The old lady operating, say, from a position of the absolute, where someone asks, how do you get to the shrine of Manjushri? You know, from that point of view, it's sort of saying, where is there to go? There's no place to go, nothing to accomplish. As soon as you set off, you're already missing that it's right here and right now. You know, that's a perfectly valid perspective in the world of koans, right? But the old lady, when she makes this judgment on the monks, shakes her head and implies that somehow she's in a one-up position. She sees something that they don't see. They've missed it and she's got it. And what Joshu is doing when he comes there and allows himself to be in the position that everybody else has been in, basically what he's doing is denying that there's such a thing as one up and one down. He's sort of saying, sure, you want me to play the position of down? Fine, down is good, up is good, no difference, right? What he sees through in the old lady is that position of thinking, oh, there's something to get, I can show them. So if you allow yourself to occupy low as well as high, not make that distinction, well, you're right at the top of Mount Taizen. See, it's the lack of those distinctions in the midst of difference is what counts. See, there's no denying the reality of difference. The old lady is playing her part, the monks on pilgrimage are playing their part. They're different. And yet, what Joshu is doing is refusing to allow the parts to be hierarchically arranged. And I think that's the same thing that we need to see on our twisty mountain road. Clearly there's a difference between straight and curved. And yet, both are just the road under our feet. Both are just our life as it's happening. We don't have to set them up as straight is good, obstacles are bad. Why is this happening to me? Why can't it be that way instead of this way? See, in a sense, we acknowledge the difference and says, but say the differences don't make a difference. We don't ask that the twisty road be straightened out. We say that it is simply the journey of our life, however it goes, straight or curved.